Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. Didn't Alice do such an amazing job last week? Brilliant. And so timely. So timely. She chose the subject on peace. And in what timing, hey, God knew what lay ahead and how much all of us had need of that message on peace. So praise God for that. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit is in control, that God is in control. So Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The character of God. That's what those scriptures are talking about. Those are the attributes. We see these attributes in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. But you notice that it says it's the fruit. It's singular. It's not fruits. It's singular. The fruit of the Spirit is, it's just one fruit. It's singular because the foundation for those expressions, the foundation is love. The foundation is love, which is displayed in multifaceted ways, like a diamond that reflects the light. The different attributes, the different aspects of those fruits are all undergirded by love. So love is expressed by joy. Love is expressed through peace. Love is expressed through patience. You know, I don't know whether it's just me, but I'm not the most patient of people. That fruit is still being developed in my life. Don't laugh, Stephen. But it's one of those fruits, you know, it's like, But you know what? I can actually force myself to be patient. You know, and I can, but then that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's me forcing myself to become patient. But this is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So when I'm forcing myself, I will be patient. Bless God, I'm going to be patient. Is it undergirded by love? Or is it just, you know, am I just forcing something on myself? So love is expressed through these different aspects. And as followers of Jesus, we know that our greatest calling, if you want to know what is your greatest calling is to become more like Jesus. That's our greatest calling. Romans 8:29, it's not going to come up on the screen, unfortunately, but the Bible says this, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. If you want to know what your calling is, there it is. Romans 8:29. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. In other words, we've been called or chosen to bear the family resemblance, to look like our big brother, to look like Jesus. I love the message. It says, we see the original and intended shape of our lives in him. When we look at Jesus, that's the intended shape of my life. That's how God wants us to be, where we see the intended shape. So Jesus is our example. He's our role model. But we're not just going to be admirers of Jesus. You know, anybody could be an admirer of Jesus. But we're called to imitate him. To imitate him. To become like him. Conform to his image. And that word conform comes from a Latin word that's got two roots, which is conformare. I actually took Latin at school, so I do. This is true, okay? This is true. But the word come from in Latin means together with, and formare means to form, to shape, to mold, to make of the same character. Those fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that's displayed in all those diverse ways, that reflects Jesus. And when we're conforming to the image of Jesus, those attributes are being reflected together with Christ, with the Holy Spirit inside of us, helping us to form more and more into the image of Jesus. And so today, we're going to look at a very well-known scripture. But just because it's well-known doesn't mean you can nod off. Okay, I'm watching. I'm watching. Don't you dare. Okay, John 15, 9 verses. We don't often read so many verses. Are you with me still? John 15, verses 1 to 9. Listen to this beautiful scripture. Jesus says these words. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Very clear, isn't it? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So we call to conform to the image of Jesus. And John 15 here, we see the how behind the what. How do we conform to the image of Jesus? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. How does the fruit of the Spirit be displayed? How is it displayed in our lives? John 15 tells us. And, you know, throughout the Word, we see lots of analogies and metaphors and parables, which are used to try and sort of simplify some spiritual truths. And especially, it seems there are quite a lot of farming and agricultural metaphors or analogies. You know, just think of a few of them off the top of my head. You know, the Bible often talks about sowing seed. It talks about reaping a harvest. The Bible talks about the soil of our hearts. These are all agricultural terms, but the Bible uses them to speak about deep, sometimes complex spiritual truths. It talks about a land flowing with milk and honey, and a shoot from the stump of Jesse. And John 15 is no exception. John 15 uses the analogy of a grapevine. And I love it. John 15, verse 1, right from the start, Jesus says these words. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus gets the foundations right from the very start. There's no confusion. Father God is the head gardener. He's the head gardener, and Jesus is the vine. And I just love the confidence that Jesus has when he says this. I'm the vine. God, the Father, is the gardener. He's the vine dresser. There's so much confidence in Jesus. He knows his place. He knows, he's confident. He knows that his Father is the gardener and he is the vine. It's perfect surrender. perfect submission. There's never an argument in heaven. There's never an argument between Father and Son, or between Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's never an argument. Listen to what John 17 says. This is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. Just before he's about to go to the cross, he prays this to the Father. In John 17, verses 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, referring to his disciples. He says, I'm not just praying for these people, but I'm also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. These words are profound. You know what? The Bible says that you've been crowned with glory and honor in Christ. You're crowned with glory and honor. He says, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. This is Jesus, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. There's just total unity here. Perfectly united. Isn't it beautiful? Between the Father and the Son. Perfect harmony. Perfect unity. Perfect oneness. Perfect oneness. And so we're going to look at this analogy from John 15 of a gardener, a vineyard, a vine, branches, fruit. And in John 15, we're going to see that John 15 holds the recipe. It's like the recipe. It holds all the ingredients for how to conform to the image of Jesus, to display the character and the nature of God. And I've got 3 points and 24 minutes to finish it in. Number one, we're going to abide in him. Number two, abide in his word. And number three, abide in his love. So first point, abide in him. The context of John 15 is that Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before he's going to be crucified. But as he is speaking to his disciples in John 15, so he is speaking to us today in the same way. And he says in John 15 verse 5, he says, just to make sure you all know where we stand in this analogy, he says, I am the vine. Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. We, his followers, are the branches in this account. This is because on the branches, that's where the fruit is displayed, isn't it? And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit is displayed on the branches. That fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, it's displayed in us as believers. But we're just going to get some bad news out the way. There are exceptions. Like, really? Yes, there are exceptions. There are those who do not bear fruit, and there are those who cannot bear fruit. So do not. Go back to John 15, verse 2. Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. John 15, every branch in me. That's interesting. We are the branch, we are the branches. And he's saying that there are branches in Christ who do not bear fruit. So these are believers in Jesus, born again, believers in Jesus, children of God who bear no fruit. And so thinking about it, I thought, so why don't they bear fruit? You know, if you look, just look in the natural, you look at a normal kind of, in the natural, you look at a fruit tree, you try to see what causes a fruit tree to not produce. And just in the natural, there's a host of reasons why. Environmental conditions, pests, diseases, underfeeding, lack of pollination, lack of water, fertilizer, being planted in the wrong place, being incorrectly planted. So many analogies which we could apply here in the life of the believer, but maybe we'll leave that for another day. Okay. So some branches do not bear fruit, and others cannot bear fruit. John 15:4 says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine is Jesus, neither can you. So the vine requires certain conditions in order to bear fruit. And without the most important condition, the branch, the believer, cannot bear fruit. So fruit displayed in our lives is entirely dependent on us abiding in the vine. I want to show you something. Yes. We don't own a vineyard, just in case you're wondering, okay. But our neighbor has a grapevine, and it hangs into our garden. A week ago, I cut this off. I didn't get permission, but never mind. It was overhanging. Apparently, I'm allowed to do it. I'll get forgiveness later. But I cut this off a week ago. This is what I cut this morning. I cut that off at 6:30 this morning. I was out there cutting his vineyard down, cutting his vine. Look at that. Healthy, green. And in fact, those fruits, this is what they're going to eventually look like. This is going to be the finished product. Fruity, flavorful, tasty, nice. But a week ago, 1 week, you know, 7 days without Jesus makes 1 week. That's pretty good, eh? I'd write that down. 7 days without Jesus makes 1 week. When we've not spent time with the Lord, when we've not been abiding in Him, this is what we're going to look like. Terrible. Dead. The fruit is gone. It's finished. This is of no value. This is of no value. It's going into the recycling bin when we get home. And you know, just in recent days, we've had some warmer weather. I don't know if anyone else here has enjoyed some of the warmer weather. Oh, no, it's too hot. But yes, we've had some warmer weather. And we've got a lot of, not a lot, but we've got some pots with plants in. And just the other day, and some of them are fairly biggish trees. We've got some aces, which we love. And we thought they were okay. And then Chris went out to water the one pot the other day. And he started with a hose pipe, using a hose pipe, watering the pot. And all that happened was the water just stayed on the top level because the soil underneath was so hard, it was so compact that it couldn't absorb the water. So the water just filled up from the top of the soil to the top of the pot and started actually running off. And 20 minutes later, Chris went back to the pot, and it had eventually soaked through. Then the next day, when he went to water the pot, the water went straight through into the ground. And that's what happens. Just to use an example, what happens to us when we don't spend time with the Lord? Our hearts, you know, when we read the Word or when we spend time with Him, you know, it's almost like when someone starts reading the Word, it bounces off you. I don't know if I'm the only one, but sometimes if praise God, I'm not allowed to spend a day without the Lord. But I just know from previously, okay, that it would just bounce off because it becomes hard. It becomes hard to absorb. So it's so important for us to spend quality time with the Lord. Let's not allow the Word to just bounce off us. Let, you know, the watering of the Word, the washing of the water by the Word, let's allow it to soak into our pots, into the soil of our hearts. Let's keep tender, soft hearts before God that we can have a fruitful life. Okay? Is that all right? That's what we're going to do. So, important to know that as believers, as followers of Jesus, as imitators of Jesus, we are not called to produce fruit. We are not called to produce fruit, but we are called to bear fruit. Not once in John 15 does the Bible talk about producing fruit from a proper translation like the New King James. But the word bear fruit is mentioned 6 times in John 15 in 9 verses. So we cannot produce or manufacture the fruits ourselves. These are fruits of the Spirit. This is a fruit of the Spirit which is produced in our lives as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And it's so important as well to know that Jesus doesn't command us to bear fruit. It's not a command. But he does instruct us what to do one thing, and that's abide in him. Abide in him. To abide in him, what does that mean? Remain in him. Remain in him. Stay united with him. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. If I was to leave this out for a week, it would look exactly like that in a week's time. We're going to stay connected to the vine. Another translation says, describes it as being knit to him. And I love that. I love the thought of that. I've got another little diagram. Christmas jumper. Okay, I've not lost the plot. This is Chris's Christmas jumper. It's made up of multiple colors. Look at this. Look at what happens behind the scenes. And you know, this is what I love about abiding in him, about being knit to him. In the front here, you can't tell where the colors change. You can't see where the colors change. And I was just, we were talking about this last night, and I was saying, I love the thought. I want to be a believer where people don't know where Sandy ends and where Jesus starts. I want to be so knit together, so united with him, so abiding in him that, you know, you see the finished product, but you don't see what's taken place behind the scenes. This is my desire, being knit to him like this jumper. Another version says, it's the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful. These are Jesus' words. Shared life with Jesus. Think about that. Where Jesus is involved in every part of your life. In every part. He's not an add-on. He's involved in every part of your lives. So to abide in him, it's not a command. It's actually not even an instruction. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. All throughout the Bible, Jesus says these words. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He says, come to me, all you who thirst. He says, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. It's an invitation that we come to him. So the fruit of the Spirit doesn't come about by effort. It's not by, like Alice spoke last week, like the apple tree doesn't stand there like a constipated tree. Apples must produce apples. No, that's not what it's about. There's an abiding in him. As we abide in him, as we share our lives with him, as we are knit together with him, we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit. But our focus, our attention is not on the fruit. Our attention is on abiding. Let him do the producing. We do the bearing, but we just respond to the invitation of Jesus. It's a win-win. It's a win-win. John 15:8 says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." The ESV says that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The proof is in the pudding. Bearing fruit is a result of abiding. Bearing fruit is a result, is proof of abiding. I like what the Passion says. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples. Your abiding is demonstrated. It's obvious. It's obvious. Sometimes during the day, I catch myself and I think, you know, I don't know if anyone else is like this. Your emotions, you know, various things happen during the day and you respond. And just think, why am I responding like this? Where's love in this? Where's love? Just do a little pause. And where is love in this? And so, God, what would you have? I want to be knit together with Jesus. So our job is to abide. His job is to produce. And the good news is that the fruit can be limitless. It can be limitless. It's without end. There's no such thing as too much fruit. There's no such thing. John 15, Jesus speaks of fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, John 15:2, he says, "Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes," that's for another day, okay, "that it may bear more fruit." And in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." So fruit, more fruit, much fruit. These are degrees of comparison. They're called the superlative adjectives. What great name, eh? Didn't know you come to church and learn a little bit of English. Eh? Superlative adjectives. But fruit is the visible expression of the invisible work that God is doing in our lives. And I want to put a question to everyone here today, because I've had to do this myself. I want you to realize that God wants to increase you and not diminish you. What would it look like in your life if there was more fruit in your life? What would it look like? Just think about it. What would it look like in your life if you had much fruit, an abundance of fruit? Take one moment and just visualize. What would that look like? Think about it. If I had more fruit, what would it look like? If I had much fruit, what would that look like? And I think sometimes when we think about a question like that, we think about looking at ourselves from the outside in. But I think turn it around and look from the inside out. What would it look like from the inside out? You know what the Bible says? To the pure, all things are pure. I tell you what, you'll see things differently. You'll see things differently. If you just visualize, I'm going to have much more fruit. I'm going to abide in the Lord. I can't wait to see all this extra fruit. But how is it going to impact my life? What's it going to look like? So being vitally united to the vine. You know what? In John 15, that word abide appears 13 times. And the words bear and fruit appear 8 times. And in fact, throughout the New Testament, the word abide appears 118 times. And of which John, the beloved, the writer of the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation, he mentions it 68 times of the 118. The beloved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, this guy has an understanding. He has a revelation on the love of God. Be it, so whether we're abiding in Jesus, whether we're abiding in his word, whether we're abiding in his love, just remain in him. So our first point is abide in him. Second point, abide in his word. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So first point, abide in me. Second point, and abide in my word. It's not either or, it's both. It's both. And, you know, I think of Psalm 37 that says, delight yourself in the Lord. Abide in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't mean you're getting your Ferrari, sorry to say. You're not getting that Lamborghini, okay? But do you know what happens when you start delighting yourself in the Lord? When you abide in him, when you abide in his word, your desires change. Everything inside of you changes. You don't want the Lamborghini. You don't care about a Ferrari. Man, I'm happy with a skedonk. Get me from A to B. But he changes our wants. He changes our desires. But that only comes about as we abide in him and his word. We've got to be able to. It's about renewing our minds. It's about being transformed, changed by the renewing of our minds. So remain in his word. Abide in his word. Spend time in the word. Allow the word to read you. Allow the word of God to read you. You know, I sit every morning and I'm like, oh, you know, Lord, speak to me. Speak into my heart. I'm not just looking for a magic formula, for a phrase, for something that's going to set me on course in a different direction. I just want to hear from God. And most of the time it's, I love you. You know, just go read the gospel. Just go read the gospels. Just go read, open up anywhere in the Bible. The love of God, the love of God. So we're going to abide in Jesus. We're going to abide in the word. And third and final point, abide in his love. Abide in the love of God. Listen to this, verses 9 and 10. It says this. Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus is not telling us to do something that he's not done himself. Jesus only did those things that he heard his Father say. He only did those things that pleased the Father. So abiding in him, abiding in his word, we will automatically abide in his love. It'll be a natural progression. 1 John 2 verse 5 says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Whoever loves his word, keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. In other words, it's reached maturity. It's producing fruit. It's producing fruit. The love of God in us produces fruit. It's lovely, isn't it? But you need to receive the love of God first. Abide in it. Soak in it. Men, soak yourself in the love of God. Soak yourself in the love of God. Bask in it. Behold it. Handle it. 1 John 3. Verse 1, Chris spoke on this for a few weeks. 1 John 3, 1, behold, look, see what manner, what quality of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. The love of God, God's love for you. You know, People will say things, silly things, and they say, don't take this personally. No, actually, normally when people say that, it means you need to take it very personally, okay? But when we read God's word, take it personally. Take it personally. He means it. He's talking to you very personally. He says, See what manner, what incredible quality of love the Father has given to us. Lavished on us, extravagant quantities of God's love. Extravagant quantities. He gives more than is necessary. He doesn't give just enough to get by. God doesn't drip feed us. He gives us more than we have need of. He always does. I want to end with this scripture. It's from Ephesians 3. It's from the Passion Paraphrase. They call it a translation. It's not a translation. But there's this prayer that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. And it says this. And he's praying. He's saying that the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. He prays that they would discover the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. The love of Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, in all those dimensions, that you would know, understand the great magnitude, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How God's love is deeply intimate. It's personal. You know, well, sometimes, especially when you're in a big setting with a lot of people, and people start talking about the love of God, you're almost like one of a crowd. But this love of God that I think in a smaller context like this, it's easier to understand. God's love for me is personal. It's for me. It's for you. And how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. You know, God is patient. He endures. He puts up with us all. He puts up, his love endures, his love never fails. Endless love beyond measurement. We cannot measure his love that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Oh, that is just... This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Pause. Think about that. You're filled with his character. You're filled with his attributes. You are filled with his love. And as a result of that love, you are filled with peace, with joy, with patience, with kindness, with goodness. It's right there. His love expressed through joy. His love expressed through peace and long-suffering. So our 3 points, abide in him. Abide in his word. Abide in his love. This is God's character. This is his nature, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, the kindness of God, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We too can display these qualities. Let's close, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we can abide in you, that we can be knit together with you, that, Lord Jesus, you are the vine, we are the branches. Thank you, Lord, that we can bear fruit. We can bear the fruit. We can bear the characteristics, the attributes of our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that you touch each one of our lives, Lord God. Lord, we want to increase in fruit, but Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we do the abiding, you do the producing. You do the producing, Lord. We're going to focus on you this week like never before, Lord. We're going to abide in you. We want to just abide in you, dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Thank you, Lord, that your love is so huge. It's so beyond measure. thank you, Lord, for your extravagant, merciful kindness, your love, which you pour out upon us, that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. We bless you today, Lord. We bless your name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your extreme love. Thank you for your beautiful word, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit. Lord, would you touch each person today? Thank you, Lord, that you who began a good work in us will complete it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God.